Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone's journey is so, you know, some of them are having an easier time with marketing. Some of them are having a harder time with marketing. Sometimes, like the Ingram Spark thing is either someone's joy or someone's absolute nightmare all the time. I'm literally
in the trenches of trying to get my wholesale link sorted because I've been published for over a year, but it's solely been on Amazon. So I'm like, okay, a lot of people are saying to me, oh, a lot of my profit comes from my wholesale links and getting them into stores and stuff like that. So we have like a bookstore in the UK called Waterstones, and that was one of my favorite bookstores as a kid. And I was like, if I ever do actually like decide to become an author, I want my books in Waterstones. That would be like top tier, like I'm actually starting to make it as an author kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You have to have the Ingram thing to make and distribute the books, and then you have to have Gardeners, which is the UK version of Ingram, to link up to it. But Ingram have to make the books and then send it to Gardeners, and then Gardeners have to send it to Water, and you have to link. Oh my god, it's so much.
We're gonna get into all of it today. Yeah, so welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. This is our next episode of Indie Talk, and for our listeners, anyone who's been keeping up with us, the month of July is dedicated 100% to Indie Talk and indie authors. So all of our episodes this month are nothing but Indie Talk to hopefully help people who are listening or watching these who want to become an indie author, who are maybe publishing their books or maybe just published their book and need a little bit of guidance. So we are going to talk to two amazing authors today. We are talking to Chloe Patterson and we are talking to Brianna Gervaz. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thank you, Dallas, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I love this. I love this show. This is Indie Talk is my passion project. So like we deep dive books and other things like that. But like Indie Talk is really where I have, I think, the most fun because I love meeting new people and I love talking to indie authors. So I want to hear a little bit first before we get into Indie Talk stuff. I want to hear about your book and your journey. So my question for you today is, can you tell me a little bit about your book and also how you found the courage to write and publish it all on your own? So Brianna, we'll start with you.
That's a great question. So I wrote a book called There Will Come Soft Rains, and it is a journey along the Western Front. So like right after the world started opening up, I was like, ooh, there's a 500-mile walk across France that I can do. That's history and food and culture. And so I always say that walking the Western Front, walking 500 miles and camping out in the wilderness was so much easier than writing said book afterwards. So I did this journey. It took me 36 days. And then I spent the next 3 years writing the book. And I had written two other books before that. So for me, it was a foregone conclusion of writing another book. I went out with the intention of writing a book. I didn't know how it would evolve and what it would include and everything else like that. But I took this journey so I could explicitly and implicitly write this book. And so that's what I've been doing. So that's what my book is about, my personal journey. I can sit there and say it's about women's empowerment and history and, you know, the lessons we learn, the lessons we don't, and just a beautiful story of going out there into the world and seeing its beauty. Wow. At least that's what I hope it is.
That's incredible. Yeah. And I have your book right here. It is so cute. This is like when I'm holding the book, I can imagine myself maybe at a coffee shop or like having a latte or like really in the moment, right? My phone is put away. My laptop is put away. I'm just in this journey and this adventure. Well, Chloe, I want to hear a little bit about your journey and how you also found the courage to write and publish your book. So tell us a little bit about it.
So the books that I currently have out, I've got so many different projects going on at the moment. It's ridiculous. But the books that I currently have out, we have, it's called the Creatures of Orient series. We are partway through. We're about a third of the way through. Book one is Born of Steel. Book two is Born of Fury. We have a prequel novella, which is called Ash's Hunt, and novella number two will be coming out next month, which is exciting. But it was initially going to be just kind of like an alternate universe, like assassin type thing. The main spark was that I saw a picture on Pinterest of a girl with pink hair and daggers. And I was like, who's she? So she is now Skye Dahlia, and she is my protagonist. I started writing it in lockdown, in the first one, because we had time. And yeah, initially it started out as just going to be like an alternate universe type thing. But kind of, it's me. So I needed fantasy, and I needed fantasy creatures, i.e. dragons and other beings and stuff. So I added the magic, and I changed the storyline partly to add the magic and partly because I was kind of stuck writing it. And yeah, courage to write it. I've been writing since I was like knee high. My auntie always tells the story of her coming over, trying to get me to like talk to her and play with her and like how was school and stuff like that. And I'm just like, leave me alone. Sat in my little like pop-up tent in my room with my feet sticking out, writing in a notepad, being like, I'm writing a book, leave me alone. So, yeah, writing has always happened. Like even in school, when we had to write like the five paragraphs was a story, I was the kid that wrote five pages. So I kind of assumed at some point writing was going to be part of my life. Getting the courage to actually publish it was partly because I'd already started writing a lot of it. My plan was to like draft up the entirety of the main series, and then any novellas and stuff I'll kind of write as and when, which has been working so far. But drafting up the whole main story, I was like, okay, I'm going to write all six of them and have them first drafted, and then I can just edit and release, edit, release, edit, release. So book three should be coming at the beginning of next year, which would be cool. But I kind of got to a point, I think lockdown had just finished, and maybe 2024. And I was like, no, you know what? I have a degree in this. I'm going to do something with it rather than just saying, yeah, I'm a writer. Like, to me, the difference between writer and author is published and unpublished. So like, you can be a writer. Anyone can be a writer. If writing makes you a writer, being an author is like a publication thing, just in my head. So I was like, I've got a degree in creative writing. I got that to be an author. Let's actually do something with that while I'm like, actually have the time to do that. So knuckled down, got everything kind of like set up in my head. I was like, okay, no, I'm gonna do this. And that happened.
Oh, yes.
Love that book. Don't you love like not for sale on there?
Yeah, this is the
oh yeah, because it's like an art copy.
Proof copy.
Yep. Can you tell us a little bit about the design on the front? Because when I was looking at it before we had you coming on the show, I was looking at it. I was like, that's so fun. And so, look at that one. Oh, wow.
I love that.
Ooh, okay.
And then novella.
Oh, those look so good. Those are so like.
So the actual design on the front of them, let's just keep it on because that's easier. Actual design on the front of it. The flowers in the corners, the color of the cover, and the actual design in the middle all have a meaning. I will be revealing the meanings when I have finished publishing the last book.
Oh my god, it's like
cliffhanger.
Like a super foreshadowing Easter egg.
Because all of these, notice how they're all different, but they're all similar designs.
Right.
They're all spoilers. They're all spoilers, but they're spoilers in. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of sigils. I'm a bit kind of like spiritual, witchy woo woo. Sigils are basically you have, or the way that I do it at least, you write down like a phrase or something, like a word or a phrase, cross out all the repeating letters, and then assign, so do like a little table of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then each letter of the alphabet will be assigned to a number. Put the numbers in like a random order in a circle, and then whatever letters you have left will be where the numbers meet up on the design in the middle. That is how I made those.
So, that's really cool. Yeah.
For every cover for all of them is going to be a different design. But because they are technically spoilers, I will not be revealing any of them until all of the books have come out. But yeah, the covers do have an actual meaning. Like the colors of the covers, the flowers in the corners, they do actually have a meaning. But again, to avoid big ass spoilers in my series, I shall not be actually revealing what they mean yet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we're only two
books and nearly two novellas in. I've got 6 books in the main series and a potential 10 novellas coming, because look at the size difference. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So novella number 2 is going to be a little bit bigger than this one, but not by too much. It still counts as a novella. So mm-hmm. Yeah, working on that. That will be coming out in August 17th, I've got it planned for. The only thing I'm waiting for now is the art and physical copies, because physical copies have the map in the front.
Oh, I love
that's beautiful.
Map,
which I made as well. And my character artist, she goes by Gravewing Designs now on Instagram, does my character art for the paperbacks. So that is Sky, and then we have one for Ash. That is the...
Those are beautiful.
Yeah, that's incredible.
She's really good. So all of the paperback copies have got the art in them, because obviously they cost a little bit more to make. They're slightly higher on the price range, so I was like, I want to give them a little bit of something extra. But if you get the ebook copy, I've got a link to my website, for a blog page for the map, and you also get a breakdown of how to pronounce everything. It's like a pronunciation glossary.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. And then for your website, I'm going to throw that in our show notes. So if anyone would like to see Chloe's website and the art that she has at the map and the breakdown of pronunciation, just drop down, go to our show notes. It'll be right there. Easy peasy for you guys.
I shall send that to you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, send it over, and then I'll throw it in there. So I want to kind of dive into it. It's time to talk about what it is like to be an indie author. We have a couple of topics today. One of the topics that I want to talk about is getting your books into stores, whether that's a brick and mortar, online, selling yourself, indie bookstores. What is the process here, and what has your guys' journey been like? And what have you found difficult so far? So Brianna, we'll go back to you to start off with.
All right, cool. I think that is like very important to understand when you're an indie author, is that, you know, writing the book is one process, and then the other part is just an entire, you have to switch brains. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, you can write books and be creative, and then afterwards to figure out a way to get it out there into the world. So for me, I'm very lucky that I'm surrounded by wonderful people. So like when I went into writing my first book, which is called Mosaic, you know, word of the mouth really, really helped. And then there's a local bookstore called, used to be called The Book Review, and they had a whole indie author section. And I was able to submit my book, and it was accepted there. So that was a really big, I felt like that was a really great thing to have happen and everything. And so you don't really get to promote your stuff. Like, you can say, oh, it's there and people can get it and everything else like that. But after I finished writing that book, I went on another trip and wrote another book. And for my first two books, I didn't really take it as seriously. I said, well, if I write a nice book, it'll speak for itself. You know, you have that false idea that, okay, if it'll be, it has merit and you can stand, you know, it's like to stand on. And then with my last book, I'm like, no, I'm going to take the bull by the horns and really take charge and everything else like that. So getting it into indie bookstores, it just depends on who they are willing to work with and if they have an independent section. Some bookstores do, some bookstores don't, or they're just approached like actually every single day that people come in, they're like, oh, I wrote a book. So, you know, they either decide to be discerning and accept some books and read the books, or they just say, no, we don't do any programs like that. So you have to shop around. You have to really submit your book and to be patient. And, you know, but, you know, being patient is, well, my book is finished. I want it to be everywhere. And then you have to, and then, you know, yeah, exactly, Chloe. So we were talking about before with Ingram Sparks that, you know, people, there are people that are like, okay, Amazon is the devil and I don't really want to purchase anything from there. Let's go to Ingram Sparks. But then you have all those issues with getting it into bookstore.com and everything else like that. So it's a learning curve every single day. Like, where do you want your book? How do you want it to be presented? Do you want it just to be, even there's online stores and there's people that have blogs. So like after I wrote this book, I submitted it. I contacted every World War I museum there is. And I was like, can I send you my book? And they're like, yeah, sure. And so now it's in 12 museums in the world. So I'm more excited that it's actually in museums than it is in bookstores, because I don't mind going out there in the world. Like, I go to DC a lot to present my book, and I go to book fairs, and I do indie author events in public and everything. So I think that the whole process, it's just, where do you want to be? And how do you want to be there? You know, do you want to get lost, or do you want to have a face to your, do you want to have a name to your, I mean, a face to your name? You know what I mean? Like, how present do you want to be? How willing are you to put yourself out there? And so it's just, and it's a give and take. Some days you are full out, full on. And then some days you're just like, I don't really feel like, you know, selling myself today. So it's just, it's a lifelong process, I think. You know, and then you actually have to, when you write the book and say, oh, this is a good story. And then you have to also compare it. So I'm sure that Chloe, you have to compare your book to where it goes into romanticy, or if it's, you know, what is it? And then you have to position yourself in the industry. And that's difficult because you also want to stand out. You know, you want to compare, but you also want to be unique. So it's just, every day is a learning curve. Every day is something that you keep on building and keep on networking. And it's just, it's frustrating, but it's beautiful at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. For sure. That is a journey. So I have one more question. If you could give a new indie author just getting ready to put their book out into the world for the first time ever, if you had one piece of advice to help get their books in stores, what would it be?
Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to say, I wrote something. I did this. I took the time to do it. And to really be proud of the work and present it in that way, and not just be timid and say, oh, yeah, I wrote a book. Because like Chloe was saying before, there are writers and there are authors. Everybody has a story. Everybody can sit there. And if they want to, you know, sacrifice everything in the world to do it, they'll do it. You know what I mean? But I think it's a matter of really believing in yourself. I think that self-doubt, if you allow that to creep in, you'll never get anywhere. But the minute that you actually stand on your own two feet and say, I did something, I'm proud of it, and I want you to believe in it too, I think that that is where the difference is. And if you approach putting your book out into the world in that way, the world will respond.
That's incredible. I can see that resonating with a lot of future authors. Like, I can see how it would be hard to try and find the confidence to go out and be like, hey, I did this, right? Even I feel like imposter syndrome might be at play fairly often for a lot of independent authors. But yes, be your own cheerleader. Believe in yourself. Know that you put the work in and you put the effort in, and you deserve to be recognized.
Absolutely. And I think that it's also, you know, you look at the book industry, and we're so lucky that as indie authors, we're able to self-publish. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, the amount of query letters that I have written that have gone unanswered, or the rejections and everything else like that. And you can go with the whole, every rejection is a redirection and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, you don't know these people from a hole in the wall. Like, you know yourself. You know the audience, even the audience that you're writing for. Some people are like, oh, you don't write to an audience. I'm like, but who are you expecting to read it? So you want to give the people what they're looking for in a lot of ways. So I think that independently publishing is it's daunting in a lot of ways. But also, if you're born, like Chloe was saying, if we've been writing since we were kids, if that's what we're meant to do, that's what we're going to do. And don't let anybody that lives in a glass house or like up on a pedestal or ivory tower stop you from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm. So, Chloe, I think that your journey is going to be a little bit different than Brianna's, because I know in the mm-hmm. beginning you kind of were talking about, you know, Ingram Spark versus Amazon and kind of the struggle that you have been on. And I think it would be interesting and valuable for your input, because you live across the pond, right? You're over in the UK, and the publishing journey is very different. So what is some difficult things that you have experienced so far that might be good for another future indie author to know about?
I think one of the main things is like, do your research before you even start doing the publishing part. Because like doing the writing part, you can do that all day. Like most of us are very introverted, so we are quite happy to hide away and do a load of research. Putting yourself out there is very scary. Like especially with my first book, I was putting a lot of stuff on social media, online and stuff, but I wasn't really trying to sell myself. So if that's not something you're very good at, make sure you kind of do a little bit of looking into what works for other people and what doesn't. So do spend a bit of time on social media, but not too much, because then nothing gets done and you end up going into complete wormholes and then getting distracted. The actual process I am still going through, I don't actually have wholesale links yet because this process is so long. There's the whole, we still need to have. So at the moment, at the moment, the only place that my books are actually available is on Amazon. And because a lot of people are very like anti-buying from Amazon if they can help it, and they would prefer to go to wholesale links or prefer to go to bookstores, I'm not getting a whole lot of hits from that. So it's been a very good learning process. It's good as kind of like almost like a side hustle, I guess, in the way of writing and publishing. It's like an extra place to have your books. It's an extra place for a lot of people have Kindles, for example. So the Kindle sales, and you can do like the indie stuff your Kindle book type events and things like that. So it does get a little bit more word of mouthy if you end up doing that. But that's kind of worldwide. That's not UK specific. For UK specifics, as I am learning, you have to have the Ingram Spark link anyway, no matter where you are from in the world, because that is how you are able to distribute your book to different places. They will make it, they will distribute it. The link that we also have to have in the UK is basically like, this is the place that all of the UK bookstores will buy from, which is Gardner's. So you have to have the Ingram link to put your book on to get them to publish and distribute it, and then Gardner's, so that they have a place to purchase it from, because the apparently the buying cost or something makes it completely different as to buying from Gardner's as it does from buying from Ingram. But Ingram will still link up and make it and distribute it to Gardner's, and then Gardner's will end up sending it elsewhere. So like one of my personal goals was to get into Waterstones, because that was like the big fancy bookshops when I was a kid. So I was like, if I do ever end up actually going into writing, if I've got my book in Waterstones, I feel like it's like one of those steps to be like, I've made it kind of thing. So, but in order to get into Waterstones, you have to have a link from Gardner's. So there are places that won't require Gardner's. They'll be able to do it from Ingram, or some places will even do, especially if it's like an indie bookstore or something like that, or an online indie store, will do consignment, which is, from what I believe, you basically like, you'll send them the author copies and then they'll pay full price, and then you won't actually get any of the money back until you get like the books are actually sold, or you get like split the profits from when they're sold. So there's a few different ways of doing it. You don't have to have the buy your own ISBN through, in the UK it's Nielsen. In like the US, and you have like a different sourcing for your ISBNs and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a very, very different process, and you don't have to have all of these like wholesale links and stuff. You can literally just like getting the author copies from Amazon and then send them to different places, but that can also kind of work out being more expensive. But it's kind of like a give and take type thing, because if you are also selling from Amazon, they will take a large chunk of your profit. Whereas if you were to get, say, your own stuff, like buy all of your author copies in, have places to give them to, have places to sell them to, know how many you're going to be going for consignment, know how many, if you're going to be doing an event, like know how many you're going to roughly sell. Like, for example, I do actually have a box over there because I got 5 of each copy. As like buying the author copies in from Amazon because I knew that I was immediately going to sell 2 of each. And that made me most of my money back. So it is a bit of give and take. It is very much like a learning curve. And yeah, it is kind of still rough out here. I'm still very, very much learning, but that's again part of it. Cause like I said, anybody can be a writer. Everyone has got a story, as Brianna was saying. And there is nothing stopping you from telling it except yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. I have a follow-up question. When mm-hmm. your book goes on Amazon, right, who decides the price of the book? Do you as an author get to decide my book is worth this much, or does Amazon decide that?
They basically give you like a minimum amount that you can charge because of the costs it's going to make it and send it. But you will get to decide whether it's paperback or Kindle. You get to decide which, like the pricing for each, as long as it's above the minimum price. And then that will decide how much profit you're going to make from it. And you can also decide whether or not you want to be on Kindle Unlimited.
And who decides when the book is going to be on sale? Because I know that like sometimes when I go to Amazon, it's like, oh, this book is 60% off. Do they decide that do you as the author decide that?
We decide.
Okay. So at least you have creative control in that aspect. I was just under the assumption that Amazon decided everything. And it was just like, guess what? Your book's on sale.
They decide to take all your money or like half, like more than half of the money. I mean, they're printing the cost. Like I before I published my book, my first book, I did pricing for a printer. And the number they came back with was so exorbitant that I would have to sell each author copy for $100 just to and so like I think that it's just it's sad because you know you do want to give you know like traditional printers the business and you want to not necessarily go that route, but it's crazy that you know they make it it's unaffordable to do that. I mean don't get me wrong, I'm connected with this man on LinkedIn that was like, hey, if you ever want to do like a one-off artistic copy of your book where it's really like hardbound and you have beautiful paper and you know it's a work of art, not that your book is not a work of art, but you know a real like an actual you know a true treasure,
a special edition for sure.
Exactly
Keepsake copy. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But it's just Amazon is, it's insane. Not a necessary evil, but it does make it a lot easier than any other platform.
It makes it easier to get reach. It makes it easier to get reach because I think that's where like Amazon is literally in every country. Like even countries that are considered third world countries still have Amazon. So it's one of the places that you can go to sell everywhere. And you can also decide whether it's kind of like domestic or international. That is like on the, I don't know if it's the same in the US. I'm assuming it is because it's all KDP. But yeah, you were saying about the printing costs. So I sell this for $12.99 UK money. It costs £5.50 ish to make it. And then Amazon take about 60% of the profit. So I sell this for $12.99. I get about £3 from it ish. And that's if it's on the paperback copy. The Kindle version, I believe I sell for $6.99 and I get about £4 of that. So I actually make more from selling Kindle copies.
With Kindle too, that if they have Kindle Unlimited or even if they just bought the copy, like they get, you get like a half a cent per page. So if someone reads the book, it's crazy to me. It's just, okay, so like your book is out there and then that you know, if someone decides to read it and then reads one page, you're not getting anything. It's just, it's really crazy. Because then
I think for when I had a friend from one of the many indie author Discord things that I'm part of. They basically read this entire thing in like 3 days. So I saw like the spike on the bar charts and stuff, and I was able to check how many pages I'd read and stuff like that. I think I made just over £2 from them reading this entire thing, it's nearly 400 pages. And people are like, oh yeah, indie authors must make so much money. And like, no, everything comes out of pocket. We are broke. Help.
Literally.
If wow. I like, honestly, I didn't even keep track of how much money I have spent writing this last book, you know, my other books.
It's insane.
But this book now, you know, I'm traveling. I'm sending out the book. Like I sent it to you.
Right.
You know, you're sending it out. So I just like every, like, thank goodness for Media Mail where it's $4 to send the book and everything. But it just, the ROI on an independent author is just, you know, I just like getting those emails being like, hey, I really liked your book. Like that's the profit that I'm getting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was also the people that come in and try and like, oh, can I, is there anywhere I can get your book for free? Or can I have a free copy if I post a picture of it? I'm like, do you have any idea how much that cost me to make? Mm-hmm. No, you cannot have a free copy. I don't know you.
Chloe, do you get those emails? I get them on LinkedIn all the time. For $65, I will post a review to my blog and my website and Instagram or whatever. And then you're like,
this is my marketing package.
Yeah, but it's so interesting. So you get presented with all these ideas. So not only are you spending money on the front end, you're also spending money. And I respond to them and I say, that is so inauthentic. It's not genuine. Mm-hmm. And no, like $65, you're going to process this book through AI and you're not going to read it. I'm not going to see a spike in those pages like Chloe just talked about. You are just taking my money and running. And also that's thievery. You're stealing from someone's really hard work.
Daylight robbery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the people that come in, they're like, oh, well, I've got, can you send this to my account for a repost? I'll put it on my account. And I've got like 2.6 million followers. And I'm like, okay. Or you could just hit the repost button. Social media has a repost button.
But not only that, right. Chloe, they do that. And then you look at the likes on their pages when they say, oh, I have like 100,000 followers. And you're like, there's zero likes on every single thing you've posted for the last 6 months. Like, are you serious right now?
Oh, wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all bots.
The audacity.
I think that a lot of times you want to exhaust every avenue, you know, you sit there and you take the time to write and then you're like, okay, maybe like this is a dead end. Let me see where I can go next. This is a dead end. And you think, you stay hopeful and you think, okay, this might be it. This might get my book out there further and everything else like that. And it's, you know, and also at the same time, like I was really, this is the conversation I was having with myself this morning. It's just, how are you supposed to be everything all at once? That you are supposed to be a writer, not only a writer, but a good writer. And then you have to design your book and format it and make it beautiful. So not only are the words that people are reading important, but the visual story that you're telling as well is engaging. And then on top of that, you have to be like, ooh, I have to do social media posts and I have to make friends with all these book influencers. And then I have to do all this. It's like, how many hours are there in the day? Because I still want to go. I have to go to work. I have to work full time. I have to go work out. I want to eat food. I want to go like out to the woods. I want to just get some sunlight. I don't want to sit in front of my blue screen computer all day long. And it's just, you know, it's.
I want to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to write without reading. I can't. Chloe, can you? I can't write without reading.
No, you actually physically can't. And it's part. I'd say that's make that part of your marketing as well. Like, force yourself to take the time to actually read books within your genre, because then you know who to compare yourself to. Make that part of your marketing strategy. Because it also is giving yourself time to do something nice at the same time as still learning something else.
Exactly. Wow. Yeah, I feel like I'm learning so much today. This is wild. There is
I think
so
Chloe
much,
and like, I can get together and just do like let things do's and don'ts.
Exactly.
And then we can go across the pond and be like, Chloe, what goes on over there?
Right. It's
How
wild
long have
over
you got?
There.
How long have you got?
Someone send Chloe help.
Yeah.
Please. Go and review my book.
Yeah, exactly. So we, you know, kind of talked about imposter syndrome a little bit back in this episode. I kind of want to circle back to that the thought of imposter syndrome. And also when you guys publish this book and when you're writing it, and I didn't look at any of the reviews or anything, but I want to talk about good reviews and bad reviews and kind of what your guys' thoughts are on them, what you had planned to do with a bad review and or a good review. Are you looking at them? Did you promise yourself that you're not even going to look at them? Do you do anything with them? Right. So like what are your guys' thoughts on that? Because everyone has an opinion and they all, you know what I mean? Like they're all wild. So Brianna, what are your thoughts on that?
All right. So going with your first part, the imposter syndrome, every single day, single day. I can show you my library. I can show you all the books I read. I can show you all the books that I wrote. I can show you my beautiful like 5-star reviews that are just that make my heart melt. And at the end of the day, I still sit with a pen and paper and think, who am I to do this? Who do I think I am? Why, how dare I? I suffer from imposter syndrome every single day, no matter how many people tell me that they've enjoyed my book and like what it means and everything else like that. It's just every day I'm like, today's the day I'm going to give up. Today is the day that I'm just going to sell my soul and just get a corporate job and just let it go and just
you
not
know.
Yeah, and be no, like, you know, like, it's a dream sometimes is a nightmare. Like, you know, it's so the imposter syndrome is, but I also think that's what drives you as well of saying like, you know, because if you're sitting there and not in the bad way of I'm not good enough, it's the how can I be better? So you don't have to necessarily make it negative. You could sit there and be like, okay, that for me is how do I do more? How do I get further? You know, in terms of reviews, I am very, very, very lucky that I've gotten wonderful reviews. Like, and a lot of them, like, you know, sometimes I read them, like, I have no idea who this person is, but thanks for reading my book. And I've gotten 1 3-star review or like 2 3-star reviews. And I read them. I'm like, you know what? And no offense, Chloe, but they're both from people from England. And so I write in a very emotional way. I'm a very emotional writer. And I don't think that a lot of Brits still live with a stiff upper lip. So it's just like, why is she sharing that? Why? Those are deep thoughts. So I think I'm a huge fan. I don't know about you ladies, but like if I want to read a book, if I see that there's a lot of 1-star reviews, and you can tell the difference between people that are just like this book arrived damaged or people that actually read books and they're like, there's no story here. Like if I know that someone's a reader and they leave a really bad 1-star review, I won't read the book. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but if I love a book, I'm not going to read the 1-star reviews because I don't care. So I don't, mm-hmm. I think unless someone has like a thing against you, if you know that this person is in a person, like if this is a personal review, otherwise
like a personal vendetta.
Like yeah. I'm not saying, I don't know if that exists or whatever, but
oh
like,
my gosh, I don't know. Maybe it does.
I mean, there's people that like, I've read seen books it, yeah. that I'm like, I not people that I know, but like there's people that I'm like, I'm not reading this book because they're terrible writers and they don't have a, like they have a tremendous responsibility and they have fallen short and they have failed. And yet they are still uplifted because they make money for the publishing industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that 1-star reviews are valuable on one side and then other side, mm-hmm. like, or lower reviews, you don't know what people like. You know, if I'm going to read Chloe's book, I'm going to know what I'm getting into. I want to read about dragons. I want to read about this mm-hmm. hot love story between Skylandia and her interest, you know, but I'm not going to read it if that's not the genre I read. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you might write something that someone's like, this is not what I expected. And so there are people that read books with that expectation. And then they're like, let me contribute my 2 cents. And I also feel like there's reviewers out there that want to write books and just have never taken the time. So then they use their reviews as a way for them to write. So it's just a broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Chloe, how do you feel about reviews?
There is also the people that would be like, this isn't what I expected, but that's not a bad thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair.
Yeah. When it comes to, I'll cycle back to imposter syndrome first and then go to reviews. So imposter syndrome, I did a lot at first, even with like, I think I got 1 mark off a first degree honors because one of my courses was new and they didn't know how to grade it. But literally like 1 mark off a first degree honors in my field. So I kind of like, logically, I know how to write. I know how to read. a book for reviewing. I know how to read it for editing. I know how to write a good book. But writing a good book doesn't make it personal, doesn't make it relatable. And I think a lot of people, like the people that have had the grittiest lives, make the best writers. So yeah. I feel like the thing that kind of pushed me out of that is that I remember being in one of my lectures in university, and one of my lecturer put a quote on the board. Literally, I can't even remember what the quote was, but it was like a quote or a prompt or something like that. And it was like, okay, every single one of you, but in the next 20 minutes, use that at some way in writing, go. So everyone's looking around, just like kind of inspired. Some people wrote poetry. Some people wrote the beginning of a novel. Some people wrote short stories. Some people did just like literally a half page thought for like free thought type thing, like a diary entry. So everyone did something different with the same prompt. And that just kind of got me thinking, like, you can give like a laundry list of quotes and tropes and ideas. You can give exactly the same characters and all of the details about them and everything that to like five different people. Every single one of them will write something different. Nobody right. is going to be able to write the way that I do. Nobody is going to be able to write what I write. And even with the exact same laundry list, every story will be different because everybody is unique and everybody has been through a different story themselves. So mm-hmm. I think that was kind of what pushed me out of that. I was like, I'm not an imposter. I'm not tricking anybody into thinking I'm a good writer. I am a good writer in my way. And nobody else is going to be a good writer in my way, but I am, and that's okay. So my story might not be for everybody, but the people that it is supposed to be for, it will find them, because my whole purpose in writing is to take how books made me feel when I was a kid. Like books have literally saved my life. They've like inspired me to live. And if I can pass that on to one person, I've made it. I've succeeded. My books have done what they were supposed to do. So as long as I can make one person feel seen, feel heard, feel understood, take some of the really, really crappy experiences that I've had, because I know I'm not alone in them, and make someone else be like, oh crap, I'm not alone, that is a success in my eyes. So there is no need to feel an imposter syndrome, because I'm not actually competing with anybody, because nobody can do it the way I do it. When it comes to reviews, I don't have that many of them. I'm still fairly new in the way of reviews because, like I said, a lot of people haven't actually been able to find me online because I'm not in many places at the moment, hence why I'm trying to get the wholesale links up. Most of the reviews I've had are from people that I know. Haven't actually had any really bad reviews yet because I don't have that many. With bad reviews, I feel like, again, it will be like, is this a personal thing? Is this a... like my book arrived damaged, or is this a I've read the story and didn't like it, or is this a she is a bad writer? So there are different kinds of reviews as to what will be said, exactly how they're saying it and things like that. Some people will just rag on people for no reason because someone didn't cuddle them enough as a child. but I feel like it's one of those things where if it's not for you, that's okay. Like my book doesn't have to be for everybody. So if it's a slightly lower star rating because you didn't quite resonate, not a problem. Book wasn't for you. I'm glad you did enjoy the bits that you did enjoy. Sorry if the rest of it triggered you. Have a nice day. Maybe get a session of therapy. But when it comes to like actually getting in the reviews and trying to see what people actually thought, like I've had some people message me again with like the kind of like I have a promotion package going, they're like, oh, I can see that you've written all of these books and blah blah blah, and like that was when I only had one out, and I was like, books, do you actually know what you're talking about, like plural, I only have one. And they're like, oh yeah, no, I didn't see that. I'm like, okay, so you know nothing about my book, have you read it? And I've actually, like, people will still come up to me and be like, oh, I'm really excited to read your books, blah blah blah. I'm like, I've just finished your book, and I'm really excited to be able to talk about it. So if you pay me, I'll talk about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, what was your favorite part? Who was your favorite character? And they're like, because they haven't actually read it. So those are the people I kind of like, I have fun calling them out at this point because I've made it into a bit of sport. But yeah, those are the people that like, try and take all the reviews that you do see with kind of like a grain of salt, because some of them will be people that are paid to write the reviews. Some of them will be people that it wasn't actually for. And I would say, again, like, circle it back to marketing. Read as much as you can within your genre. Take all of it with a grain of salt, because you don't know where the reviews are actually coming from and whether they're genuine or not.
Yeah,
I wanted exactly. to piggyback on that too. Do you know, and I saw like a lot, I've read a lot of Reddits about this also, like, so as indie authors, we obviously are sharing our books with our friends and people that we know and everything else like that. And somehow, because Amazon is this big mega corporate monster, they can like access your contacts, and they know whether you have a relationship with this person. So if I get my cousin to read my book and then ask them to write a review, or one of my best friends to write my review, they'll be less inclined to post it. Like, Amazon will not post the review because I am in contact with this person. And I'm like, okay, so like, how am I supposed to get it out to strangers if the people that love me the most are writing, they're not fake reviews, like, they're writing real reviews. They've read the book. And they're the ones that are going to be the most critical, because they can call me up and say, why would you write, like, what were you thinking, you know? Or they would be more critical about it. And Amazon blocks that, or they take it down, or it takes a month for them to post it. And you're just like, but they do that with the traditional publishing industry. If you get a really, really popular writer, you won't see that there's 1-star reviews. They'll take them down, even though those people deserve 1-star reviews, because they get this advance. They write the book. There's no thought behind it. And they continue to write. And some of these authors even are like, editors, I don't want an editor. My book is fine. And it's like, and they're getting 1-star reviews taken down, and meanwhile we're getting 5-star reviews or 4-star reviews taken down, and it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, they basically have to get approved to be on your page.
Mm-hmm. So then that kind of leads me to my last question that I wanted to talk about today for the last couple of minutes that we have, is if you had to choose, would you rather have a review on Amazon, NetGalley, or Goodreads? Because those are the three like big places to leave reviews where people are going to. I know that all of your books are on Goodreads, but I don't know if they were on NetGalley at some point, or, you know, obviously they're on Amazon as well. But where would you rather have the review, or where do you feel like that review is the strongest, or reviews in general are the strongest?
Mm-hmm.
I think that because people have Amazon on their phones, you know, that's their first go-to of where the review is, and those are more inclined. I think that, you know, I think it's easy if you ask people to write a review on Amazon, or if that's where they get the book from. Like, I get a lot of my books from A-Books or at the bookstores and stuff like that. But if I read something, if I really love the book, I'm going to put a review on Goodreads. I'm not going to really review on Amazon unless, like, you know, I really, really, really loved it and I'm going to copy and paste on both sides. But generally speaking, I would love more of my reviews to come onto Goodreads, because I think that is more of a network place where, you know, Chloe and I can connect, and I could be like, oh, Chloe, you're reading this, or here, you know, you can recommend it, or you say, I'm reading this now. And that's just more of a genuine review as opposed to Amazon. Amazon will, you know, they'll edit it, they'll be in more control, and you can be more honest with Goodreads, and people are more inclined to be honest, and you have more space. You can write the longest review or the shortest review. And if I want to read a book, my first place will, I won't even look at Amazon anymore, because they'll say there's 500 reviews on Amazon, and then it's like, but there's 3,000 reviews on Goodreads. Like, where's the disconnect there? So yeah, Goodreads all the way. I've never even thought to look at NetGalley, because I thought that was all for ARC readers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think it is. And that's where I was going to ask, you know, when you published this book, did you decide to go the ARC route where you like uploaded it and then people were able to read it before the published date and then leave the review like on NetGalley and or the other, you know, places that they have options to leave reviews? Or is that only for like traditionally published? Like, what is NetGalley? How is NetGalley available to you guys? Or is it available to you?
I've never used NetGalley. I thought that was more of an American thing. We have, I don't know if BookFunnel is also American, but in the UK, people tend to use BookFunnel a lot more.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you upload the like document that you want to upload. It's normally like a ebook version. So you send out an e-arc. Mm-hmm. And then they will be able to, like, you kind of direct them through the Google form that they apply for the ARGs. You have to input their email addresses and send it to them directly through BookFunnel. And then you kind of direct them to where you want them to review the book afterwards. But because obviously they've had the free copy and they've gotten to read it, their requirement is that they have to review it somewhere. So I normally say Goodreads or on socials or... I've got a couple of reviews on Amazon, but again, I would say I would trust the reviews on Goodreads more because, again, it is like it's a space for authors and for readers, whereas Amazon is kind of like a wider branching space. So I feel like it's not quite as concise as to like who's going to be crossing over where and who's reading what, whereas Goodreads was created as like a reader space for readers, and then authors have just kind of like dipped their toe into be like, oh, you like reading, here's my thing. But yeah, I would always trust the reviews on Goodreads a lot more than the ones on Amazon. And there is also the fact that they've now linked up the Kindle. You can link your Kindle to your Goodreads. So I've recently bought myself a Kindle Paperwhite just so that I can like try and keep on top of things like a little bit more when it comes to like my own little business stuff. But whenever I'm a certain percentage or anything like that, I still have to manually update it, but I can mark that I'm reading it on my Kindle. And then when I finished it, I can make the review on my Kindle. So that will automatically upload to my Goodreads, but it won't automatically upload to Amazon. So I feel like they've made that a little bit easier as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that does make things easier. That's incredible. I love that you told me that. I didn't know we could do that. That's exciting. Okay. Now I think my Kindle is very old. She's an old lady. I don't know if I have that feature, but it will be time to upgrade soon. So now when I get another one, I know where to put my reviews at. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you, ladies, so much for hanging out with me today, sharing your thoughts and experience on your indie journey. It sounds like you guys have really put in the work and the effort and the time, and I can see that. And I can't wait for people to read your books. This is exciting. So my final question is, and I know you kind of mentioned it before, but one more time, where can our listeners get your books? Where can they read your books? Where can they buy your books? And what links can I put in our show notes so that way they have access easily to your books?
I'm on Amazon. Yeah. I'm on Amazon. And like I always tell people, if you want to email me, find me at the beach in a little while. I have my books available and everything, but generally speaking, Amazon is the way to go. I don't have it linked on my website because then you have to pay like an extra like $35 to like $60 a month to be able to sell things. And it just, you know, that's just money coming out of your pocket, right? If you can just link it like that. And yeah, that's where I am. So I'm just on socials, Brianna Gervais, and yeah, so just Amazon.
Brianna, if they email you and they say, hey, I want to buy your book, and it's coming from you directly, right?
Yes.
So then it might be a signed copy. So you guys,
yeah. Oh, I always sign it.
Instead of Amazon. Yes. I'm going to link, if you're cool with that, I'm going to link your email in our show notes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. So if you want a signed copy of one of Brianna's books, it will be in our show notes. Just reach out to her and you guys can talk through that. And then Chloe, again, where can we find your books?
Again, same thing, probably Amazon would be the first place to go. That's where all of them are definitely up. And novella number two is called Orion's Trials. That'll be out in August. The rest of them will be going up there as well. I'm still trying to sort out the wholesale links. But if any of you do want a signed copy, I am very, very happy to give a few of the author copies that I have currently in stock. And I'm happy to sign them and send them to you. But yes, it will be... I'll send you my email, and yeah, anywhere to find me is CPATS author or CPATS writer on TikTok and Instagram. I'm also on Discord. It'll be under Chloe Patterson, and my website is cpatterson.com.
Amazing. Yeah, and all that will be in our show notes, so check it all out. If you want signed copies of either one of these wonderful ladies' books, just reach out to them. See, and it's like one of the best things about being an indie author is you are able to do that, right? Like, if I feel like a traditionally published author sometimes lose less creative control, right? It's hard to reach out to a traditional author and say, hey, I want to buy a signed copy of your book. You have to go through different routes. So I love that you guys are still able to just be like, hey, just email me, right? Like, just reach out and we can work it's incredible.
I think I don't want to lose that ever either. Like, it got, like, you know, with hope that, you know, my book does, or both of our books do well, if someone emails me, I'll be like, yeah, sure, here, take it. Like, it's yeah. art. Go. I would just want people to read, and I want people to be excited right. about things.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons why I don't want to do trad either, is because you lose that creative control. You lose the creative control over what you actually get to publish, and you get to lose connection mm-hmm. with your audience. So indie author all the way, not going to change.
Chloe, I'm with you all the way too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, incredible. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. This was another week of Indie Talk. And again, the entire month of July is dedicated to Indie Talk episodes. So that is what we are bringing your way. And then make sure to like and subscribe to our channel if you liked this episode, or you know of someone who is attempting to be an indie author and would like some advice. Thank you guys so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.